listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA. It's very, very dark tonight. I don't know what's happened. Summer is gone, and I am in the studio with Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi,
Stephanie Mack and Ilona Europa, host. And I also have John Johnson with us. Hello, John.
Hello, Ilona. Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hi. How is Dallas? How is your place?
It's wonderful. Enjoying time. I'm here with Dr. DJ. We're together. So.
Oh no! I wanna be together one day in one place with all of you. Oh boy, will happen or not?
Well, one day we'll get us all together.
Okay, and I have also with us. Oh yes, Dr. DJ Verret. And hi, DJ.
Hi, Ilona. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. And we have very, very unusual guest. We have today. Guest that is calling to the studio from UK. Okay, hello, Freddie.
Hello.
Hi, Freddie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
how are you?
We are doing fine. Say hi to Stephanie, who is with me in the studio, and we have John Johnson, we have Dr. DJ Verret, and we have Freddie. Freddie, can you tell us a little bit, very short, what is your business and who you are and why we are so excited to talk to you today?
Hi, basically I'm Freddie. I'm from the UK. I'm from London, and I run one of the biggest management and promotion companies in the city. We look after up and coming and young talent. Basically, I was finding as a promoter that lots of talent, you know, from a young age, bands which were formed in schools and, you know, in youth clubs and whatever, because they were having no direction from an industry expert, all this talent was going to waste. And so I decided to set up a company primarily to look after them and help them and give them the right direction, but also, you know, to look after bigger artists and get into bigger stadiums and do that sort of thing.
Oh my gosh. You know I will talk to you a little bit more. We all will be talking to you a little bit more. I know I was very excited when I found you hello on a Facebook, and you know, I just start reading a little bit more and more, and obviously I'm an artist and I'm surrounded by so many wonderful talents who are trying to get into American market. Then I think you'll be giving us some advice how Europe and UK is dealing with young talents, and of course we'll find out more about your artist. But right now I cannot wait for our Fireflies with John Johnson. John Johnson,
thank you,
what
Ilona.
Is the title today we are talking about today? What is the title?
We're talking about masks that people wear because it's Halloween. So
I know.
I thought it was apropos.
And obvious, I listened before and I just love it because, hey, like always, John Johnson has a twist to his thought.
Oh, thank
then
you.
Let's listen to it.
Thank you, Ilona. And thanks everybody for tuning in to another edition of Accent On right here on LA Talk Radio. For Firefly, Igniting the Soul, this is John Johnson. Since Halloween's almost here, I thought we should talk about masks. Not the kind of mask you wear to a Halloween party. Let me ask you, what masks do you put on and hide behind in your life? When we wear a mask, whether we're conscious of it or not, we feel isolated, fearful, and in conflict with ourselves because you're not allowing your true self to come forward. You're in essence, you're in hiding. And not only does this keep us from experiencing fulfillment in relationships or creating the success we're looking for in life, but we end up living in a state of internal struggle because we can't possibly be truly authentic because we are molding ourselves to be the person that we think others want us to be in order to love and be accepted and for them to approve of us. So do you ever feel like you're wearing a mask Do you find yourself pretending to be someone you're not? Pretending to have it all together, but in reality your all-togethers are falling apart? You would never want people to see the real you, the person behind the mask, because you'd be embarrassed if they ever found out just what struggles you're going through. So what happens is that we all put on our masks, and we go about our business, and when friends ask us how we're doing, we say great, when we're really not great. I mean, the masks are real. It's in the hundreds of people who, when their hearts are breaking, and they're asked, how are you, and they answer, fine. I mean, fine, as if there's a new universal definition for the word fine that says, I'm in a state of total misery. When we look to others to give us love and approval, we lose awareness of our own self-love and our own self-acceptance. And by wearing a mask, a sort of contrived version of ourselves, to gain approval from other people, that keeps us in a state of internal struggle. And the truth is, even when we get the approval we think we're looking for from someone else, it's never, ever enough. Because only through true self-acceptance and love can we become to a full awareness of our own worth, beauty, and grace. I believe strongly that the worst lies are the lies we tell ourselves. We live in denial of what we do, even what we think. Even when we see other people's masks slip and we don't like what we see, we make excuses for it. We look the other way. And we do this because I think we're afraid. We fear we will not find love, or we fear that when we do find love, that we're going to lose it. And we even fear that if we don't have love in our lives right now, that we'll never be happy. So we all take mask after mask, putting them on and hiding that look of fear on our faces, not caring to realize we put on one too many, not caring to realize we have no idea who we are or who we even once were. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and you look in the mirror, ask yourself, are you going to meet the world wearing the mask of a person you're not? And if you're sitting there listening to my voice and telling yourself that you're not wearing a mask right now, then ask yourself this question. Could it possibly be that maybe, just maybe, the mask is so stuck to who you think you are that you don't even know it's even there? How can you be the real you even underneath your mask? Because the real you is perfect, complete, and beautiful just as you are. To share your stories, visit the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. And to read more of my thoughts, you can follow me on Twitter at JohnsCat, JonsCat. For Firefly, this is John Johnson. Start living your life like the dream you have is real.
Thank you.
As always, thought-provoking and topical from Mr. John Johnson.
I know. I would like to find out, because I feel like sometimes from time to time I'm wearing mask, you know, on my face to just cover maybe bad mood. And I am not sure if this is allowed. John, what do you think? Is this allowed? So,
it's allowed. I think what happens is that people wear masks for protection, self-preservation. They wear masks because they, you know, for a lot of reasons, and a lot of the reasons are good. But there are also people who wear masks to cover up sort of, you know, evil intent.
Yes.
So you have to ask yourself, you know, am I wearing a mask? Why am I wearing that mask? And if it's really because of fear of being rejected or fear of not being liked, then I think you have to ask yourself, you know, what is it about your personality that you need to really work on and embrace that, right, and show that to the world? Because I think that when you hide who you really are, the people that you might find who love you,
yeah,
you're not going to find those people because you're pretending to be something that you're not. So
I
think it's a good thing to not to, you know, society, you know, makes us want to wear a mask, right? There's certain things being polite and that sort of thing. But I think in general we want to be free.
And it sounds like you're really talking about the long-term mask that we wear not being good, not the short-term mask that Alona is talking about.
Right. Yes. That kind of helps with society in general, right? Society kind of dictates that. And sometimes your parents do, right? Because your parents, you know, get up every morning and maybe they're really stressed and money's an issue, but they show a certain face to their children, right? So there's good mask and there's bad mask. And the question is, what kind of mask are you wearing and why are you wearing it, right?
I love
it. Is it preventing your inner self from actually getting out, which would be good.
Right. Thank you.
Freddie, you are in UK, and in America, when somebody is asking us, how are you, we are saying, fine. I am guilty of, if somebody asks me, how are you, I'm like, oh, I don't like this, this happened, oh my gosh. And sometimes I feel like I'm taking people's time, you know, from maybe they will move from me on the street. But I just like to tell the truth, how I feel in a moment when somebody, special friends, ask me, how are you? How is in England? How are you? I'm fine. Is good enough? Or you really open your heart when you see your friend?
Well, I think it's a very good question. I mean, the English people are traditionally very conservative in their emotions and betraying what they really, you know, really think or really feel at that moment. I mean, the majority of the population in the UK will be very reserved. And, you know, that becomes a problem, because when you can't tell somebody how you are feeling, if you're down, if you're sad, if something's going wrong, then, you know, if you can't get that off your chest, then you can't get any help, and you just keep on thinking about it, and it gets worse and worse.
I
think that's, you know, that's a problem with not just the UK, but, you know, especially, the, you know, the English people are very, very conservative, very reserved, you know, we're not a very emotional country.
I know, but
so I think that's a problem. Yeah.
You are dealing with an artist, and artists, obvious, they need a lot of care, right. And, you know, we are very emotional, and I think by creative songs or lyrics, we just are sometimes very, very little baby, and we need people who care, and when somebody asks us, how are you, I always want to say, honestly, how I feel, and I hope the world will just open up and to the truth instead of the cover-up of I'm fine. Anyway, well, yes.
And I, well, actually, I can have a question for Freddie. You had mentioned the British people being more introverted and not quite as emotional, but Alona was mentioning how artists can be much more emotional. Do you find that there's a real difference in British music, more reflective of being introverted as opposed to the more emotional, maybe Western music that we have?
Well, you know, I think that in the last couple of years in the UK industry, there's been a huge swift to a concentration on real, raw lyrics, you know, things which are close to the artist's heart. I mean, I think we've gone through the phase, at least in the UK, I know it's still around in the USA with, you know, lighthearted pop and all that stuff. But in the UK, it's really stripped back to the raw emotion. And whether that be, I don't know, an indie band, a rock and roll band, you know, anything, you know, you normally find in London, especially, that the majority of all the emotions in the music is coming from the underground scene, the rappers, you know, the guys from South London who just rap about, you know, in, I suppose, Biggie Smalls fashion, what their lives are like, and you just give it, you know, get it. It's an opportunity for them to get it off their chest and express themselves, and I think it's wonderful.
Because, you know, it's funny to me, because when you talk about emotions in the British, because I think of Amy Winehouse and I think of Adele, right, who their songs were so emotional and so, like, you know, gut-wrenching. And but I guess if I lived in London and I had all that rain that you guys have every day, I would need an outlet for my emotions, too.
Only sad songs, yes. Is this true? Or you have people around you, Freddie, that just write very, very happy music?
Well, you know what? One thing is, even in the darkness, the shadows, and the rain of the UK, you can always find a happiness. And, you know, we would like to give you a gift for giving us the pleasure of coming on your show. Would you mind if we just did a 10-second song to say thank you?
Oh, of course.
Love it. Yeah, awesome.
Oh.
Thanks.
Oh, Gaggy wants his twister. Oh, Gaggy wants his twister. Oh, Gaggy wants his twister now. Oh, Gaggy wants his twister. Oh, Gaggy wants his twister. Oh, Gaggy wants his twister now. Bang, bang, you're dead, I put a bullet for your head. Bang, bang, you're dead, I put a bullet for your. Bang, bang, you're dead, I put a bullet for your. There we go.
Okay, now I hear another
Bravo.
Person.
Bravo.
Bravo. Yeah. I hear another person with you. Who is the lady?
Yeah. It's my girlfriend.
Yay!
Oh,
we love girlfriends and we love Freddie. I'm very happy to hear your voice. I know you are also a singer and songwriter.
Yeah.
You are obvious on our page, Accent On page, and I know that hopefully you will be successful also. We'll talk a little bit more about what you are doing in England. Right now, I would just like to pitch a little bit John Johnson, because from Oprah Winfrey to top global brand, John Johnson shares his unique point of view of life, love, and relationship on LA Talk Radio, number one show, Accent On, with his inspiring series of Fireflies. And I think today, before Halloween, I think our, you know, topic about are we wearing masks for the moment or for whole life was really, really important. And John, again, I love that. And I cannot
wait
next week what you will bring to us. But right now, okay, Freddie, I'm coming seriously to you, but with the music from England.
Yeah.
Let's play the music, Stephanie. I really like the song. I think title of the song is Police.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Police.
So who wrote that song?
A band called The Mayans. Believe it or not, these guys are only 17 years old, and we found them in a gig about 2 years ago. We found it was originally just the frontman, Louis, the singer, and we put together a really nice sort of modern day indie chilled out band. It's really nice.
So part of your role is you go scouring the country for new talent.
Yeah, basically that's half the about a quarter of it. I mean, we have scouts and we send them out all over. You know, their job is basically they get paid to go to venues every night and just watch gigs and, you know, go online and see who people are talking about and, you know, even look at buskers in the street, you know, anything which we think, you know, have the ability for us to work with them and make them, you know, a successful act.
Have you found something that's a better place than another to find good talent?
Well, you know, the big cities, you're always guaranteed to get a couple of, you know, at least, you know, good bands. But it's often actually the places which are, you know, more rural and unexpected and where people are very confined to that space. You know, maybe it's harder for them to get out into the cities, to get to the proper venues for people, you know, to catch their eye. And you often find that if you make the effort to go, you know, further afield, you'll actually get the reward because some of the artists you find, you know, in the middle of nowhere are actually the ones who have been so untouched by the media in the modern day world in some cases that their lyrics are still very true to themselves and very, you know, heartfelt and emotional, and that's nice.
That's really...
Well, you know, it's interesting you said because it makes me think of Susan Boyle, right? Because Susan Boyle lived in a small village, right? And she sang all locally, right? But never, you know, no one really got a chance to see her until she did the,
the British
Got talent. And so you're right. So I think, so what do you look for in talent? What catches your eye?
Well, you know what? I'm actually a judge. I'm a judge on the biggest sort of musical talent show in, music contest in Europe, and it's called Open Mic UK. And I was asked this a couple of days ago. I was judging, and the presenter asked me the same question. And I said to him, you know, I said, there are so many people nowadays who could, you know, who have been trained to sing or who can naturally sing, and there are so many decent and able voices that nowadays, you know, you can't just get through, you can't become a success in the world of showbiz in the music industry just being, you know, just possessing a good voice. You have to have an edge to you. You have to have something else. And I hate to use the word, but X Factor is the easiest way to explain
yes.
it. You know, I'm not a fan of the X Factor, but because I think it ruins artists. I think the best artists are the ones who are organic and who've had to work to get to where they've got to and who have gigged in a more stripped back and professional set, and they've got more experience rather than people who, you know, who are 15, 16, who have never performed before, getting just catapulted into the top. I think it's disgusting.
Okay, but many people in the UK have labeled you the next Simon Cowell. Then what do you think about that? And what do you think about Simon Cowell himself? And obvious, you are trying to do his business in different way. You are just caring about, yes, what is the most honest and most hardworking artist, and you try to find them and bring them to the public. And we know that X Factor just put flash, you know, on the people for the moment, and sometimes the next day they are the biggest, you know, stars in the world.
Yeah.
But they call you that you are next Simon Cowell. And then, okay, where is the difference between you and him, and what do you think about him?
Well, yeah, I've got nothing but respect for the man. You know, I think he's done, you know, he's a great success story, and he's worked from the bottom upwards, and I do salute him. And obviously he has, I think up till about 6 years ago, I had a lot of respect for the guy. I thought he'd, you know, rejuvenated the TV business and the music industry in about a 15-year period.
Will you be hating your life if you will be in his chair?
Excuse me?
Will you be hating your life if you will be in his chair right now?
Well,
I'm not sure.
okay,
I was just joking. Anyway, but first and foremost, we still do not know name of your company, and if you may say it and describe a little bit, what is your
company?
Yeah,
definitely. Yes. My company is called Clode EPM, which is CLODE and then EPM, and you can just, if you just Google that or just Google Freddie Clode or anything, you'll come up on our page, and on our page we've got all our artist info, all the links you need to listen to their music and get the links for their iTunes and all their up and coming gigs and stuff like that. And we're basically a company who do two sort of things. Basically, we work on unsigned talent and getting them signed up and getting deals with record labels and then taking a percentage from that. and getting them booked into venues through our contacts and stuff like that. And then we also have the bigger side, which is, you know, working with bigger bands and doing proper European tours and stuff like that, and having good connections with stadiums and stuff like that. So you get a twofold.
I like that. Okay, I really need to tell people, because I am the unusual person, and everybody who met me, they really know is something different about Ilona, and I am making my life a little bit like hard weight also. You are looking for the artist. I'm looking for my way in America to just set myself up and do my career my way, and obviously the Facebook is the magic of finding amazing contacts, amazing people, but takes time to find, you know, person like you. And obviously one day I just, you know, looked into your page and I just went deeper and deeper. I had some people who mentioned to me your name, which is like serendipity, you know, because I just first found out who you are. Then I looked into a page. I don't even know who told me in America about your company, but then I researched you and then I said something is very honest about this man. Then I was looking to your Facebook page and it was so much about sport and I was like so confused, but I still didn't give up and I just wrote you this fun email, and my English is not the best, then I'm thankful.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
I love you, but you know, I just don't care anymore. I just write what if it's right or wrong. I say if people can understand and they start liking me, they really don't care. But you wrote back, and I just ask you, you know, you have this, so many big sports events. Maybe one day you would like to bring marching band from USC to England, because my daughter is studying right now, and you said, that would be a cool idea. Then explain me still how this could be even possible to bring so big band, marching band, you know, to your event. And where is the connection?
Well, you know what? I love the marching bands. I'm a big fan of the NFL. And I see them, you know, the NFL actually plays two games a year in London. And I always make sure I go get a ticket and go see it. And there's always the big marching band. And it's a great atmosphere. Yeah. And actually, since the X Factor generation has come in, even going to rugby games or football matches in the UK now, soccer to you guys, there's halftime entertainment because they're trying to make these events more family orientated. And so the way to get families to go to a sport event instead of just the son and their father is to provide them with entertainment with pop stars and X Factor people to sing at halftime and marching bands to entertain and warm up the crowd. And, you know, I'm actually a big fan of that because I think the family should be together and it's wonderful
to
do through sport.
You know, it's funny that you talk about the big bands, Alana, because in America, right, this year's winner of American Idol, Philip Phillips, one of the things that I thought was so unique about what he did on the last show where he won was he sang a song, and in the middle of that song, he brought on a marching band and a drummer parade, and it was the most, and it was so bizarre, it was absolutely touching and moving, and it's amazing the kind of emotions and the feelings that you get when you see a band like that. So I just it worked for Philip Phillips because he's got a number one hit on the radio right now.
Yeah,
I think we'll be working with Freddie on my dream to bring these gorgeous students and.
Now, Freddie, I have a question for you. So growing up, did you grow up around in the music industry, or how did you find your way into this industry? What was your career path to this industry?
Good question. I grew up in London. I grew up in South London. And, my family are very big on music. I learned piano as a child and guitar. And that's why, you know, I originally started becoming a singer-songwriter. And that's basically where I got led into it. But, you know, my family's always been big on music, always been playing classic stuff, you know, from the 1940s, even jazz from the 40s up till modern day hits and all that stuff. And we're into everything. And so I came from a very musical aware background and that helped me a lot. And also the learning of the instruments. And also I'm a big, big fan of musicals, musical theater. I absolutely love it. You know, I love going to Les Miserables.
That's my favorite musical. I can't wait for finally this December, right? They're releasing the feature film Les Miserables, right? I can't wait. With Hugh Jackman, and it's going to be a great cast.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay,
then. DJ, were you going to say something?
Yes.
Well, I was just curious. So you have a big family background in music, but what made you kind of switch to being on stage to really being the man behind the scenes making it all happen?
Okay. Basically, it's a funny answer. The answer is that I was trying to make it as a singer-songwriter, and I was finding it really, really hard to get noticed. Even though what I thought I was doing was quite good and every person I played it to, you know, liked the music. And so there was one day when I went to see one of my mates' bands, and I listened to the guys supporting them who were on sort of an hour before them, whatever. And they were, I just thought they were great. And I just thought I could see them splitting up in 2 years when they left school or when they left college. And, you know, that music would never come to a mass audience and no one could appreciate, you know, we live for a couple of things in life, and music is one, you know, one of the main ones, I think. You know, a life without music is no life at all. And we just wanted to try and, I just saw a vision that we had to try and get more organic bands who want to make it so badly and are gigging every night and practicing in the daytimes and not getting any sleep at all and traveling around the country trying to get noticed. Those should be the ones who make it, because they've got the most raw, you know, they've got the best lyrics. It's just so well rehearsed and it's such a finished article where...
Well, you know, I just about what you just said there, because one of the things that Sophia Loren told me one time, we were talking about artists and, you know, being, you know, singers, songwriters, and actors and actresses. And she said it's interesting, too. There's a lot of great talent, you know, in the world, right, musical and otherwise. But a lot of those talent, you never, ever will see them because they're so sensitive in order to be that talented that many of them, because this business is a tough business, and it is a business. It can really, you know, you can get discouraged very quickly and can sort of, you know, chew up and spit you out.
And put a mask on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, exactly. So, you know, so I think that, you know, the people that really, I think, make it in this industry, they have some sort of stoic, you know, resolve in them or something that keeps them going, because you get so much rejection. Do you have any advice for our listeners here on LA Talk Radio who are trying to make it in this industry, how to keep a positive face forward and keep trying?
Well, yeah, you know, the main thing in life is the fact that if you're making good music and you know you're making good music, at least every single night, no matter what's the circumstance, no matter if you're making it and you're selling out to thousands of people every night or you're just playing it in your own living room, but if you can just have that one, you know, moment where you think to yourself, right, whatever happens, you know, good or bad, I know that I've created this wonderful piece of art and, you know, that's something special. But people trying to make it, just never, never, ever give up. I mean, there are so many stories, especially now, of people making it, you know, after 10, 15 years. I mean, the Kings of Leon are a prime example. They were gigging, I think, for about 10, 15 years before they got their first record deal. And they never gave up. I mean, I actually thought they went a bit too commercial in their second album. And I wasn't such a fan because they lost the organic stuff from the first album, which had been confined over 10 years. But their first album was, you know, it was a wonderful piece of art. And you just got to keep your head up and keep going, no matter what happens. And if you believe in yourself, then that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard though when to put yourself out there like that, because when you put yourself out there to the world, right, you're judged, right? You're judged pretty harshly. But I think that this business, especially the music business, it's really hard to make it today without a lot of, you know, without a big machine behind you, right, doing the marketing. And there's a lot of stuff that goes in behind the scenes. Are there certain things that you do with your artists to get them out there in the public? What are some of the venues that you use to do that?
Well, luckily for us, over the last couple of years, we've put up a big book of contacts. And so now, I mean, originally we had to do a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of taking people out for drinks, and there's a lot of, you know, boring office work to be done to try and get all these contacts and get these people to trust you and give you these opportunities whereby you can help someone else's life by projecting them from no audience at all to, you know, at least a bigger audience and more people listening to them. So I don't really know. I mean...
Oh, we were asking for the places that your artists have right to play. There are smaller or bigger venues also?
Well, you know, it depends on the band, really.
Yeah.
If we take on a band, I mean, a week, you know, up till about 3 months in, they've got to play small venues, because even if they're not getting a big audience and they may not be getting money off the first gigs or progressing necessarily, they've got to have experience whereby gigging on stage. I mean, people who are unrehearsed and who haven't gigged lots of times, I should say, just aren't, you can tell that they're not, there's something not right, there's too much forgery, it's too fake, the act, it's not organic enough, so they've got to do a lot of gigging, And, you know, we got connections with small places and big places. It depends on the band.
I love it. You know, in America, I don't know, but I really think I know. Because, a lot of artists, they just don't feel like they are protected or just handled right. They think that they are on their own. Even when they have people like you who they say they care, it's just tougher, very tougher. Maybe because Americans are more commercialized when it comes to music. Maybe pace is very fast. Maybe European soul is more romantic or more dramatic and more just into art and not commercial. But I think what comes out from England is so fresh and so honest and so right now breaking the records, you know, on our charts, that I think, Freddie, you will soon have just some amazing, amazing artists that America will fall in love with. Yeah. And I have another song, and I think title of the song is Vice, and I would like to play this song for us. Unusual song. I don't know. I was listening. Obviously, we have more songs from you, and I hope Freddie will be talking to you again maybe in December if you are okay with this, because we have so many questions.
Yeah.
I would love to ask you and listen to your unusual artists, and they are pretty young. If you can tell us a little bit in short version, who is the band? Who are these people again?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Can I just ask one question? Do you like the music? Do you like the songs?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I just love it. I'm from Europe. Then anything that is unusual, and I'm also one of those who are looking for the different sound, different things. I hear the freshness. I hear unusual vocal arrangement. I hear innocence. I hear still a lot of work in front of the artist who is singing and playing. But overall, I think it's very unusual and it's something that, singer-songwriter driven, and I always love that I'm singer-songwriter.
Well, can I ask
too.
A question to the both? Because Alona, you're a great songwriter. You write beautiful lyrics. Do you think that to be a really successful music artist today, that if you don't write your own, if you can't write your own original music, that hinders you in any way? Or you don't think that doesn't really matter today?
I would say that I had a lot of hits in Poland when somebody else wrote music for me, and it was very comfortable for me to know that I have something to choose from, and then I pick the song that I think is the nicer, or I feel good about the lyrics and about everything, or the songwriter and producer. But in the moment when you start writing, I think it's like almost no way back. You just want to speak out your soul, and you want people to know who you really are inside and deep inside. What do you think, Freddie?
Well, I think that, I mean, it's... To be a good singer-songwriter, you have to have passion, you've got to have a heart, and you've got to know what your lyrics have got to mean something about you. There's no point writing songs, in my opinion. I know, big stars like Katy Perry and Rihanna and all that lot have songs written for them, and they're comfortable singing them, and they're big-selling hits because they're mainstream, and they don't mean anything, and, they've got a catchy chorus. Yeah. But that's not real music. I mean, real music is something which has been inspired. Something's happened in your life whereby you want to get it down on paper and you want to express it through the power and the love of music. And I think that's what a proper good song's about.
So many people like you in this business anymore. And I really, really think we need to bring you to America. We need to talk more about you, because way how you speak, I love it. It's something they're so
Thank
honest and
much.
So cool and so.
Yeah, we're so grateful. Yeah, we're so glad to have you on the show and introduce you to LA Talk Radio and our audience and our listeners.
And it really comes across that you have a passion for music, I must say. So
thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon. But right now, stay with us, Freddie, because you don't know maybe, but a part of our show is a really wonderful conversation with Dr. DJ Verrett, who is a plastic surgeon to the celebrities, to the stars, and also he's taking care of about beauty and health and all of medical myths that we sometimes think that we know all about, but really mostly we are wrong. Then we have always game in the studio, which we have some type of questions, and we can say, is this the truth or not? Then first question, which doctor will tell us right answer, indoor heating is responsible for the for winter dry skin or is not? What do you think, Stephanie? Indoor heating.
I don't know about this one.
You think? I think that dry heat inside of the house, long, long time, can really mess up your skin. Okay, Freddie, this is maybe something that you are not sure about, because you have a lot of rain in England, but if you have dry air in a room, do you think your skin or your girlfriend's skin is a little different or not?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. One of my best mates sleeps with a fan, do you get fans in America?
Yeah.
A fan right in front of his face every night. And I'll tell you what, he did get dried out skin. So I think, air or a lot of air conditioning or anything can dry anyone's skin, yeah.
Okay, Dr. DJ, tell us, is this right or not?
Well, and Freddie's absolutely right on that one. I'm not sure why his friend would sleep with a fan in his face, but the point of the question on that one is it's not really necessarily the indoor dry air that's causing the problem. It's just that during the winter, the humidity is generally lower in the entire atmosphere. Because when you come in, even during the summer, if it's more humid outside, because of the air conditioning in the houses, the humidity is going to be fairly low anyway. So it's really that the overall atmospheric humidity is down, which causes more dryness to the skin during the winter time.
Okay. And now we have a completely different question. Hot baths are good for the skin or they're not?
Okay, I'm sorry, Alona. Your accent, I love your accent, but I didn't understand a word you just said. What was that word?
Okay, then, Freddie, can you translate from English to English?
She said hot baths, they're great for the skin.
I love you. He understands my English Polish. I love it. Okay. Yes, I will say hot baths. I hate them. Then I never do them. I don't care about hot water. And I will say they're not good for you. What do you think, Freddie and Stephanie? Freddie.
I think that hot baths are one of the greatest things God ever gifted us. You know. They're absolutely wonderful.
Okay. After
Freddie, we're learning some really deep things about you today on this show.
I didn't mean the myth to be personal like that.
John, what do you think?
I like a nice bubble bath every now and then, to be honest with you. And I think a bubble bath for two is healthy for anybody. So that's all I'm going to say on that matter.
We don't care.
The medical myths are not meant to be personal, merely informative.
Okay, Dr. DJ, are we okay to sit in a hot bath?
So while I personally am a fan of the hot bath, it is actually not good for your skin.
Yay.
It's not. It is not. It will dry out your skin. So short, lukewarm baths are actually better. And then you should moisturize after you get out of the tub.
Look at you.
Wow.
Okay.
Can I just say?
You're taking all the fun out of this whole bath thing, is all I'm going to say right now.
Okay, Freddie, you ask Chris.
Sorry, can I just say that, having a lukewarm bath, Doctor, I mean, it's like having caviar and a burger on offer and taking the burger.
Thank you. Freddie, I like you already, and I haven't even met you in person, but I like you.
Oh, we love Freddie. Okay, now we have this cool stuff, another question. Can you become addicted to chapsticks? I hate them because they are like some type of wax on the top of my lips. I'm using always Nivea. I'm plugging Nivea, and I will always... Oh, Stephanie has Nivea, and she's putting lips right now on her lips.
It's not Nivea.
What is it?
Palmer's Cocoa Butter Chapstick.
Oh, come on. Don't tell. I'm plugging Nivea, and you are bringing me some different brand. Anyway, I do not like chapstick, and I think people are addicted to them, but... What do you think, Mr. Freddy? Are you using chopsticks sometimes or not?
Am I using chopsticks?
Yes.
Chapstick. Lip balm.
See? Even lip balm. Lip balm for your lips.
Lip balm. I do tend to use lip balm when my lips get dry.
Okay.
I mean, for sure. I'm not a big user.
Good. It's nothing worse than men all the time, you know, putting this lipstick on the
lips.
Okay, then...
Personally, I'm going to just speak Regan here because I've been told I have very kissable lips. Oh. You know, so, but I honestly, I have to say this because I'm addicted to lip balm because I've been using them for 30 years, and I find that if I don't have lip balm, my lips don't stay very dry. So I think that maybe using too much, I use it so much that my skin has just stopped producing oils. I don't know. So I think you can get addicted to it.
Doctor, can we help John Johnson to stop using too much of lip balm?
Well, I think he should continue if somebody said his lips are kissable and go from there. But
okay.
Chapstick is not addictive. It will not alter your body's natural.
Oh, thank God. No oil.
Okay.
So no rehab. Rehab. You're fine.
Okay.
We don't have to go through the 12-step process for lip balm. But lip balm is good. Keeps your lips moist. You should also wear some with ultraviolet radiation protection and having an SPF factor in it so that you protect your lips from skin cancer. So can your lips sunburn? Can you sunburn your lips?
Absolutely. In fact, I had a patient in my office today that had a skin cancer that was taken off last week. Her entire lower lip was gone from skin cancer.
See, lip balm is your friend. Lip balm is your friend.
But maybe she was smoking too much, like, you know, cigars or
something. No, she did not smoke. It was purely sun exposure.
Oh, my gosh.
See?
Okay, then let's
Freddie,
go.
Freddie, start getting you some lip balm. Really, I'll send you some.
Thank you very much.
We're going to
I just say quickly, anyone in America, I mean, we're looking to come stateside soon. So if anyone in America is, you know, in the same position whereby they feel they've got good music and they're unsigned and they want to try and get into some pluggers or something and just get that step further, then Google us, Clode EPM, and just get in contact. We've got a contact us little page on the website, and we'll be happy to help with anyone.
I'm just...
And that's C-L-O-D-E-E-P-M?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you are on our Accent On page also on Facebook, and also you will be on iTunes. In all our hour is for downloads and forever on iTunes. And we are having LA Talk Radio, our own Accent On
page.
And
you can also, you're also going to be on my fan page, and so we get about 500,000 hits a month on the fan pages. So hopefully you might find some good artists.
And thank you very much. That's very kind of you.
I will send them your way. And Freddie, I said I would love to have you in a few weeks for sure.
Definitely. Love to come back.
So yeah, we have one more minute. That if I can ask a really important question, Dr. DJ, I really need to know skincare regimen are the same in summer or winter, because winter is coming. We are in LA, but still, winter is pretty dark and cold. Then do we need to do the same with skin or a little bit different?
Change it up a little bit. Remember, you do still need sunscreen during the winter because you are getting ultraviolet radiation exposure, but you need to do things that are a little bit less drying to the skin. Change your moisturizers to the more to kind of the thicker moisturizer so that the skin remains more moist during the winter. Careful about gloves that you might wear. You don't want wool. You want other things that aren't going to be as scratchy on the skin. So you do have to change it up a little bit, but remember your sunscreen for sure.
Wow. Okay.
Well, Freddie, it's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful.
It's lovely to talk to all of you as well.
Freddie, prepare a new set of artists for our next interview, and we'll be asking you much more questions because I had few of them prepared that I had no chance to ask you. And hopefully talk to you in a few weeks, and we'll be talking to American artists, and we'll send them your way, and you never know.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much.
Take care, Freddie.
Say hi to your girlfriend. What is her name?
Cheers.
Alice.
Her name's
Alice.
Hi, Alice.
Okay.
Thanks, Alice.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye. Night-night.
Night, LA.
Oh, good night, UK.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.